Father, tonight we just want to thank you that we can bring the school before you, we can bring the people of Jim Fushia before you, the people of this area even, God. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you that we can be welcomed into this area, God, and into the school. We thank you that you've caused us to be here, Lord, not for ourselves, Lord, but we are for the people of this area and of this city, God. And we thank you that we can trust you, Lord, to move mountains, God, to open doors for us even more, God. We thank you for the young people that come here every day, Lord, even the matrix tomorrow that are writing. We thank you for your presence most of all, God, in their lives. And we believe, God, that as we pray, Lord, we believe for encounters with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you that as they question life and wonder where they're going next year and what they're going to be doing and what their lives are meaning, God, we thank you that your presence would come and meet them, Lord, in Jesus' name, in a mighty way, God. We thank you that they will walk in here tomorrow, the headmaster and every staff member, knowing that there's a different feeling about the school. There's a different atmosphere because we have charged this place, God, with your presence. And we pray that you would come and visit people, Lord, in this school. We pray that you'd come and visit people in this area as we declare your praises, God, over this place in Jesus' name. We thank you for breaking chains, for breaking bondages, Lord. God, you are mighty, Lord, to save, to heal, and to deliver. And we thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for tonight, Lord, that we can learn from your word and we can experience your presence and your voice calling us. In Jesus' name, we praise you for tonight, God. You are good. We worship you and we thank you that as we hear your word, that every thought of our hearts, Lord, every decision will worship you in Jesus' name. And I consecrate, Lord, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, Lord, everything that is going to be said tonight, may it be glory and bring glory unto your name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Are you excited to be here this evening? A new season, a new venue, a new things for us as a church. Isn't it amazing that it's the 1st of September, in case you didn't know? It doesn't feel like it, but it's springtime. Tell someone next to you it's springtime. Okay. I just think it's so incredible how good God is that the point of time for us to move venues happened to be on the 1st of September. Isn't that amazing? That God held back the move just at the right time because he's appointed the season for us. So get excited. I know it's still winter and the cold front doesn't make it nice, but you know what? Springtime is coming. Springtime is here. The summer is coming. It's a new season. Okay? So it's not by chance that we are moving at a significant time. And I really believe that God is into these things like seasons, and he's into specific times. And why we moved this time, why we didn't move in the middle of winter or at the beginning of the year or something like that, God has got a perfect time and a new season for us as a church. And so that's what I want to preach about this evening. You know, I think it's a new season. I think it's time for us to preach from a couch like this. Don't you guys think? I mean, this feels good, doesn't it? And aren't you glad that you're not sitting on a hard wooden pew anymore? I've got the couch. Do those chairs feel good? Just move your bum a little bit and make it like feel good, you know. Don't get too settled though, okay. That God is good, amen. Thanks for this. It's especially for me, Eliz Marie, and the creative team. No, I'm joking. It's for everyone. This is just to make you feel at home, okay. So you can come and sit up here if you want to. Afterwards, when the band's playing, you can just make yourself at home. But you know, I believe that a new season represents very specific things. A new season represents, if you think about the springtime and you see all the flowers and all the plants blossoming, it talks about that as this change taking place. Something has happened through the winter. There's development that's happened underground and change is busy happening, or it's going to happen. A new season represents change. A new season represents new opportunities. And I'm so excited about the opportunities. You know, God didn't send us to this school by chance. God sent us to this big hall. You know, we could have probably gone to a much smaller hall. And yes, it looks a bit, you know, sort of, we are few people and we've got this massive hall. But God is not confused. God knows that there's new opportunities for us as a church to grow. And lots of chairs open that people can come and experience God's goodness. Amen. A new season represents these opportunities. A new season represents hope and excitement and expectation. Are you expectant tonight? Are you expectant for what God wants to do in this next while? Because I sense it in my spirit, and speaking to people, you know, it's just amazing to see that everyone's excited about this new season. There's not one person that has come to me and said, please, can't we just stay in Brandfach? Can't we just make a plan? You know, can't we just move somewhere else? Like, no, everyone is excited about moving here. And yes, there's going to be challenges for some people because they live far away, and to get lifts and everything is a bit of a challenge. But you know what? People have embraced it. And I want you guys to also embrace that, because lots of people maybe can't make it here on their own. They need a lift. And I want you to think about maybe just giving someone else in church a lift to church. Even if it's not someone who's never been to church, even if it's someone in our church, just give someone a lift. Think of not coming on your own, especially if you've got a car and you're on your own. You've got three or four places in your car. Say, God, I want to fill this car up. I want to bring people to church. I don't just want to come on my own. And that will create something in our hearts for what God wants to do. We're going to trust God maybe to get a bus or to get something that we can pick people up along the way and just say, you know, come with us to the house of God. But before we do that, let's do it in our own lives. Let's say, God, my car is a blessing to other people. It's not just for me, but maybe I can give three other people a lift. Maybe I can drive a few more K's and just pay a little bit extra every month for petrol because I'm blessing someone else. Let's think of it like that. Let's have excitement and expectation that God wants to use us in more than just what we think. We can do little practical things to make a difference. But there's an hope and there's an excitement I sense, and that God is more excited about us, about this new season. God is more excited about this new season than we are. Turn to someone next to you and say, God is very excited about this new season. A new season represents time to bear fruit. You know, if you look at the trees out there, you'll see that in the springtime, the winter has gone. It's time for fruit. It's time for us to blossom and to flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. So the winter is gone in your life. The old is gone. The old things have gone. It's not time to carry on with the old stuff anymore. Let the old stuff go. Use this as an opportunity that we've moved venues, and let's say, God, in my life, I want to move away from that which I've held on to, that which is not of you. You know, there's a lot of good things that we must hold on to, but there's a lot of bad things that we can let go of. Even good things that are not God things. Let's hold on to the God things, but let's let go of that which is not of God. And you know, I'll never forget when we just got to Pretoria, just settling in, started in the ministry. It was about 2 months. And I come back from work the one day, and my wife says to me now, and she doesn't normally do this. She doesn't normally say to me, okay, let's sit down and talk now. But this afternoon, I come back from work, and she says, just get yourself a nice comfortable seat. Just make sure you're sitting now. And I'm thinking, what's up with this now? And so she says, just sit down. And she sits next to me, and I'm thinking, this is interesting, something's up here. And so she says to me, are you ready for this? And I said, yeah. She said, I'm pregnant. And I knew it was the season for us to start to multiply, but I just thought, okay, maybe it's like going to happen in a couple of months' time. And, you know, I wasn't too excited when she said, like, I'm pregnant. I could see she was very excited in her heart, and I'm like, I can't get quite as excited as you are now. Because this is time for a change. This is like when she said that, I realized this is the end of a season. My life as a father or a husband without children is finished. That season has ended. I'm going to start to be a father now. And the reality hit me that there's no turning back now, you know. Your wife is pregnant. You're going to be a dad. That's good news for you. But to be honest, it wasn't great news at the start. I thought, there's the end of my freedom, okay. The selfish person that I was, and I still am many times. The end of another season and the beginning of a new one. You know, to be a dad or to become a dad is very easy. Most of us will know that. Okay, to become a dad doesn't take too much rocket science, okay? Anyone can become a dad quite easily. But to be a dad, to be a father to someone takes huge responsibility. It takes a maturity. It takes a laying down of your life. And you see, that's what I believe it's the same for us as a church. It's a new season. It's the reality that now I'm not a child any longer. I'm not just living for myself. Now I must take up responsibility for someone else's life. And for those of you who aren't married, believe me, marriage will challenge you as well. You're also going to lay down your life. But having kids is even more than that. Because there, it's a responsibility of a life that doesn't take responsibility for themselves. And we've got two of them, and they are blessings. But believe me, when they haven't slept on a Sunday afternoon and they start throwing tantrums, it's quite challenging in the house. And one has to keep your peace and say, God, help me, okay? But there are blessings in our lives. But it's time for us as a church, I believe, that it's a season where God wants to trust us with great things. God wants to trust us with the supernatural. Where we are going to be seeing God move in mighty ways. And I want to ask you this evening, can you trust God? Because God wants to trust us, but you know what? He's actually waiting for us to say, God, we trust you. Because many times we just want to be in control. We don't trust you when you move. And so God just says, okay, I'll move through someone else's life who can trust me. And so I want to ask us, are we as a church ready for what God wants to do? Are you as an individual ready for what God wants to do in this next season? Because you know what? Seasons aren't determined by God. Seasons are determined by how ready we are. God is always ready to move. God is ready to move in the winter. He's ready to move. He doesn't have to wait for the 1st of September to make a move. But He's ready for us to respond and say, God, we're ready for you to move. We trust you that you're going to move. We trust you with what you've given us. And God wants to ask us, can He trust us because we trust Him? And so 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says the following. Paul is writing and he says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I'm going to read that again. Eye has not seen, ear not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. I believe God has got such great things prepared for us as a church. But you know what? We cannot fathom it with the eye or with the ear or with our hearts and minds. Paul writes here to the Corinthian church and he's specifically addressing a lot of problems and he's answering questions because they're a charismatic church just like us, but with a lot of struggles, a lot of sexual immorality, a lot of the world has crept into the church. And so Paul writes and he says that the simplicity and the power of the gospel is enough. But he says to them, listen here, I realize it doesn't seem to be working with you because you don't seem to be walking by the wisdom that God wants to give you. You're walking by the wisdom of the world. And in chapter 2, he goes on to say that the wisdom of God only comes from knowing the Holy Spirit in your life. And so, yeah, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and he's reminding them that instead of confusion, instead of a lack of knowledge or understanding, instead of not knowing what to speak and how to discern, he ends off this chapter, and we'll get to that now. He ends it off by saying that you have the mind of Christ. End of chapter 2, it's a powerful scripture. You have the mind of Christ. But going back to verse 9, Paul writes and he says that the things which God has prepared for us, notice, not those whom God loves, it says those who love God. How do you love God? How can you measure your love for God? It's not by singing a lot of songs, that's great. It's not by getting excited. It's by saying, God, I obey what you say to me. I hear your voice and I obey it. That is what love of God is. Loving God is obeying His commandments. Read the whole of John, 1 John, 2 John. It says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. It's knowing who God is. And so God has prepared great things for those who love Him. So are you ready to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Are you ready for are you preparing yourself for what God wants to do through your life? And through our lives together. I'm just so excited. Yesterday we did Encounter 2. And I can just sense God is bringing us into unity. God is bringing us into the same heart and mind. Where we can love God with everything in us. And simply do what He tells us to do. But you see, Paul goes on and he says that these things that God has prepared for us who love Him are too great to behold in the natural. It's too great to behold with your eyes. Yes, you will see it with your eyes. You will hear it with your ears. And yes, you'll experience it in your heart. But you know what? It's so much greater than that. That's not the primary way that you're going to discern the will of God. And we'll get to it now. We need to experience these things on a spiritual level by the Holy Spirit. And I want to say this evening, many times these things, the eyes, the ears, the mind, the natural discernment that we have, these things often stand in the way of God moving. These things often stand in the way of us hearing what God is saying because we're so focused on the natural. We're so focused on what we see with our eyes, hear with our ears, or feel in our hearts. We're so focused on those things that we get clouded and we can't discern what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. It comes from a desire to control our circumstances. As soon as we see something, it's a reaction. As soon as we hear something, there's a reaction. As soon as we experience an emotion, there's a reaction. It's because we so want to be in control. And God just says, let go. Start to trust me. Start to trust me with what I have for your life. And so God is challenging us at this time to let go of the control, to be led by the Spirit of God. And it's not a spooky thing. It's not the spiritual experience. It's a living relationship with Jesus Christ through His Spirit. That's all He wants from us as His people. And I'll never forget, a couple of weeks ago, just had an amazing experience. We were doing the Encounter 2 facilitators training with our leaders. And for those of you who've done it, you will be blessed. Who was blessed by the Encounter 2 yesterday? Can I just see some hands? Did you guys enjoy the foot washing? Lots of you are, yeah, it's awesome. Did you enjoy? Some of us really enjoyed, or some of you guys, I got to wash people's feet. I really loved it. Pastor Rihanna. Het jy dit geniet? Ik weet jy het. But you know, it is such a blessing to be able to wash people's feet and bless people. And I know you enjoyed the warm water on a cold Saturday afternoon. You put your feet in this warm basin of water and just experiences God's love. But you know, when we were doing it for the leaders 2 weeks ago, I had this incredible experience. I was praying for one guy and I just felt the Spirit of God just come upon me. And I'm not like this hectically emotional guy who tends to cry every time the presence of God comes. I experience God, but maybe God wants me to be a little more emotional at times. But I just felt the Spirit of God just gripping me in my stomach and I just started to weep uncontrollably. And I tried to sort of resist it, but I just let go, and it was quite awkward, I think, for the people around me because they were looking and the ladies were praying there. But I'm just like weeping as I'm praying for this guy. And I just thought, God, you are just so good. You're changing my life here. You're giving me a heart for people again. You're giving me a heart of love for people. And I just felt such compassion. And I felt God move by His Spirit into this person's life. And he said to me afterwards that evening, he said he trusted God for two words. As he put his feet into that water, he trusted God for two words. And the Spirit of God led me to pray the exact things that he was trusting for. And as I prayed those two things, I just felt the Spirit come. And I just started to weep and weep and weep. And it was just such an amazing experience. And you know, God wants us to experience Him in a real way. Because that definitely wasn't an emotional experience. I was quite shaken by it, actually. I thought, God, what do you want to say? Is this for me or for this guy or for our church? Or what is it for, God? But God wants to break our hearts. God wants to start to move through us by the Holy Spirit. And I'm excited for the season. So I want to look at just four things that God, I believe, is saying in terms of this new season. The first thing, and it's all found here in 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 10 carries on after we've read the verse 9 about the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, the mind has not conceived, the things which God has prepared. And Paul goes on to write the following. He says, but God. And when you see the but God, then you must know, ooh, God wants to say something here. Because there's a statement or a sentence, and then suddenly there's a but God that clarifies what he wants to say. He says, but God has revealed to us through his Spirit. He has revealed these things, these great plans that he has for us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The first thing that I believe God wants us to embrace in the season is that of revelation. God wants to reveal himself to us and his heart to us through his Spirit. Paul says that God has made a plan for his will to be revealed to man. Isn't that good news? We don't need to wonder about what God's plan is. We don't need to wonder, you know, is God out there? Is he real? Does he want to move? Does he love me? Does he not love me? We don't have to wonder about these things. He has revealed his will for us and his heart for us through his Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit searches all things. The Spirit knows everything of the heart of God. And you know what the deep things of God simply refer to? It simply refers to the gospel. It refers to the fact that Jesus came and died for our sins and he died for the world. The Spirit wants to reveal to us again the heart of God. And you know what? Many times we don't experience the love of God and we don't know how much God loves other people because we don't know his love in our own lives. Isn't that true? We don't reach out to others because we haven't got this revelation of God's heart for us. And so it's so difficult to tell someone how much God loves them because we're not sure about the love of God either. We're so clouded in our minds by all our stuff and we feel God owes us something and God still must come through for us and we don't thank him for what he's already done. He's done it all on the cross. He's died for us. He's made a plan. And the Holy Spirit wants to remind us of what Jesus did on the cross. That is the gospel. The mystery of the gospel is so incredible. It's that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And the Holy Spirit, it's a season where he wants to reveal to us and remind us again of the simplicity and the power of the gospel. That's what this whole chapter is about. Paul starts to say that I don't come in excellence of speech. I come with the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. That is the gospel. You know, in John 16, verse 14, Jesus writes to his disciples. He said, He, the Spirit of truth, is going to come and he's going to glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. Jesus said, the Spirit is going to come upon you and he's going to glorify me. He's going to reveal to you the things that I have come to do. So I want to say this evening that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal God's love to each and every one of us. He wants to remind us again of how much God loves us. That is the deep things of God. He wants to glorify Jesus Christ through our lives. And Paul carries on to write in verse 11. He says, For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You know, for me to have something in my heart, someone else is not going to know what's in my heart. Jacobus is not going to know what's in my heart unless I tell him. No one can discern what's in another man's heart unless it's revealed by that same person. And you know, it's exactly the same with God. Only the Spirit of God can reveal to us what is on God's heart. That is what he's trying to say here. And Paul says, except the Spirit of God, you will not know the heart of God. And guess what? We can know it. We can really know His heart when we walk in the fullness of the Spirit. We can know it. Not perfectly. We're not perfect by now or yet. We'll be made perfect one day. The Bible says that we know in part. We only prophesy in part and we do things in part. But you know what? We do things because the fullness of the Spirit is in us. The second thing that I believe God is calling us to in this season is that of knowledge and of understanding of the will of God. Not only just having a revelation of it, but having a strategy for it. Knowing that we know that we know this is the will of God and that we walk in it. For instance, coming to this school, we know this is the will of God. God has opened a door here and we must use the season. We don't know how long we're going to be here, but this is the will of God. And guess what? God's going to start to reveal His strategy to us that maybe we must reach the youth. Not maybe. I believe God wants us to get involved in the school some way. But let's just bless the school. Let's just leave the hall better than we got it when we got in here. Let's just make a difference in the school. That is the strategy. Let's just be in this area and reach out here in this area, whatever. But God wants to reveal His very specific will, and we must understand it. We must know the heart of God, not just in general. You know, Scripture is very general. But God wants to speak to you through the Scriptures. As you read it, He wants to reveal to you exactly for your life what is the... You know, the Scripture says the same thing to everyone, but you know what? It means different things for different circumstances and different people. Isn't that exciting? We can wake up tomorrow morning and read the Word of God, open it up and say, God, show me specifically what you want me to do today. Give me a word. Give me understanding and knowledge of your will. I don't just want an experience with you. I don't just want the fact that, yes, I know your Spirit is there. I want to also know, God, there's a plan for today. There's a plan for this week. You want to start to give me direction. That is walking by faith. Isn't that exciting? Because otherwise we're not walking by faith. We're not walking by the Spirit. We're just simply walking by what we plan for the day. You know, because many times our routines are just so controlled. We've got the same routine every day and every weekend and we carry on and there's nothing, no faith really needed, is there? Unless we start to say, today, Lord, when I go to work, when I go to class, show me the plan that you have for my life. Show me the knowledge that you have about the people I work with, about the situation that I'm in. Show me, God, specifically. And you know what? God is ready to show us. But we're not always ready to listen, are we? A season of knowing and of understanding. Paul says, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Isn't that amazing? God gives us freely just the things that we need to know. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pay for it. Isn't that awesome? Freely He has given us the things that we need to know. The Holy Spirit wants to give us confidence in knowing and understanding the will of God. And understanding it specifically for our lives. Not just the general will. Yes, people need to be saved. Yes, we need to worship God. Yes, all these things apply to everyone. But Lord, what about my life? What are you saying to me as an individual? And as part of this church, God, how can I add value? How can I be a blessing in this church? Show me your will, God. I'm just so excited about the people coming and saying, you know, I want to get involved in this ministry and I want to do this and I just feel God is saying this to me. You know, just about the missions guys that are just taking initiative and saying, we want to go to, guys have been saying, we want to go to the townships here in Bloemfontein. We feel God stirring in our hearts. Maybe on a Sunday morning we can go and just see where we can partner with people here in Bloom, that we don't have to go to the ends of the earth to do missions. Missions is right on our doorstep. Because we're starting to hear the will of God and the voice of God. But it's a season of knowing and understanding the will of God. We don't have to walk around blindly and just follow. Like without having understanding, without having wisdom. Paul's talking about wisdom, wisdom by the Spirit. It's given to us freely by God. We can know that we know that we know. Paul had confidence. And he started to know the will of God for other people's lives. That's why he could preach and plant specific churches, because he knew that's the will of God. And it happened. The fruit was evident. The fruit can be evident in our lives if we start to follow him. John 16:13, Jesus said that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will start to reveal the scriptures to you. He will start to reveal God's heart for you. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The Spirit is faithful to give us wisdom and knowledge and understanding about situations, circumstances. We don't have to worry and stress about things that in the natural look like they're not working out. I want to ask you this evening, what in your life is stressing you out? And, you know, are you living by faith, or are you letting the circumstances determine your stress levels? Or are you saying, God, what are you saying about the circumstance? I just trust you for your peace, God. Trust you that you lead me. And maybe I'm doing too much. Maybe I'm saying yes to everything. And you're just saying to me, say no to certain things. Know your limits. You're not perfect. You're not this invincible person that can do everything. Maybe you're just running around saying yes and getting excited about everything and just not knowing the focus that God has for your life. But he's got a focus for your life. He's got a specific will. And he wants you to know it. He doesn't want you to walk around with doubt and with fear and with stress in your life. Isn't that good news tonight? The Holy Spirit is here to teach us. Turn to someone next to you and say, the Spirit wants to give you knowledge and understanding. Verse 13, Paul goes on, and he says, these things we also speak. Notice he says, these things we also speak. Tell someone next to you, these things we also speak. In other words, we're not ashamed of speaking the truth of God. It says, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, Paul writes that he knows there's a power in the speaking of the gospel, in the proclaiming of the revelation and the knowledge that he has received. There's power in sharing this stuff with other people. And so the third thing I believe God is saying to us this season is, it's a season for speaking, proclaiming, prophesying, declaring, praying, whatever the will of God into being. It's a season for our mouths to be released, our tongues to be released, boldness to enter into our hearts. But guess what? It's not going to happen in the natural. It says, we do not speak in words which man's wisdom teaches, but we speak what the Holy Spirit tells us. And it says the following, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, we can only start to speak the Word of God. And I believe many times while we don't speak and we're not bold to just declare things and prophesy things and pray things is because we're afraid. We're not sure, is this really what God says? And God wants to give us a confidence in the revelation that He's given us and the knowledge that He's given us by Spirit. He wants to give us a confidence that this is indeed the will of God. But we're so fearful many times because, what happens if I'm not speaking the truth? And it comes from a fact that we are in the natural. It says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. And many times in this scripture, actually refers to the carnal man. It refers to an unregenerate person, an unsaved person. But we have to be honest that many times we also made a commitment to Jesus, but we're not following. We're not in intimate relationship with Him. So guess what? We're still living in that unregenerate carnal way. We're still just operating by our minds and our hearts and our emotions. Instead of saying, God, I want you to show me that this is what the Spirit is saying. Revelation 19 verse 10 says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And the spirit of prophecy, speaking the will of God, that is the testimony of Jesus. We must simply obey Scripture and testify of who Jesus is. And everything that we speak, every prayer that we pray, every declaration that we make or proclamation, or however we're going to do it, it's not for ourselves. It's a testimony of Jesus. We're supposed to witness to Jesus Christ who has changed our lives. I want to say this evening that when we release the prophetic in our lives, and that's what I believe. I felt it in who was here in the praise and worship last Friday night. Not here, but in the old hall. I mean, God was so present then. God started to speak things very specifically to us. And one of the things He said, and He's confirmed it to me, is that we need to be the prophetic voice in the city. Isn't that exciting? We don't have to be like other churches. They've got a specific purpose. But we as a church have got a very specific purpose. We must be the prophetic voice in the city and in the school. That's why we'll pray for the school. We'll declare God's goodness over the school. We'll start to reach out to the school. Whatever we must do, but let's start with speaking the will of God in our own lives. And pray for the people here and pray for the people of the city. But let's be the prophetic voice in the city. Because the prophetic brings glory to Jesus and His finished work. That is all it is. It's not the spooky stuff out there. That's why we're so fearful of the prophetic and the flow of the Spirit, because we think, oh, it's just so out of control. And that's exactly where we must be. We must be a little bit out of control. So that it's not about us. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. The realness of the cross. The realness of the gospel. It's a season for speaking. And I'm encouraged by people bringing words and people starting to pray and having a heart for the lost and a heart for the people. Because we need to speak it into being. If we don't have that heart, if we don't have that compassion, then we're not going to speak the word of God. But it comes from the Spirit. It doesn't come from the natural man. The natural man cannot understand these things. And we have to realize when it comes to the spiritual things, we do need to be out of control. Because it's our natural man that so wants to control and so wants to say, well, I just want to be comfortable. Yeah, I just want to have handles on this. And God wants us to just let go. And that experience that I had 2 weeks ago was that very experience of just having to let go and saying, God, I cannot control this prayer now. I must just cry and shed some tears here because You want to do something. And it's uncomfortable at times, but God wants to take us there. He wants to take us to the season of the supernatural. Is someone excited here this evening? Because this city, I want to say, does not need religion. It does not need another church and a lot of preaching. It needs the presence of God, the power of God manifest. Lastly, this evening, in verse 15, Paul goes on. He says, He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul says that those who are in tune with the Spirit can discern or examine all things. Tell someone next to you, all things. But you've got to be a spiritual person. You see, you've got to walk in the Spirit. You've got to know that this is the Spirit speaking and you can discern all things. There doesn't have to be confusion. There doesn't have to be doubt. You can know the will of God. And yes, we're growing into it. I want to encourage you. You don't have to be perfect tonight. But God wants us to discern these things. He doesn't want us to take years of getting there. He wants to do it now. And I can see He's doing it in certain people's lives. Certain people are just so in tune with the Spirit of God. And it's exciting to see how young people are being raised up. How young people are experiencing the Spirit, you know. And saying, God, I want to run with what You have here. I know this is so beyond what I've experienced before, but Lord, it's You. I know it's You. And it's awesome. When people come into our church services and they know, this is home. This is where I'm meant to be. But you see, there's a flesh that cannot make a wise judgment. You see, it says no one, He Himself is rightly judged by no one. No one in the flesh can make a wise judgment of a person who's in the Spirit. And so I want to say to you tonight, if you're in the Spirit, if you know what God is saying to you, then shut out the voices of the people in the flesh and the voices of the devil who's telling you you're not good enough, you're not going to make it. Don't allow those judgments to determine your life. Don't allow what people say who are not in tune with the Spirit determine your life. Allow the Spirit to determine what God is saying to you. Because we can have confidence in the fact that we have the mind of Christ. Just like Paul. Paul said that he knows he's got the mind of Christ, and he says to the Corinthians, you also have the mind of Christ. If you have the Spirit, that's his whole argument here. He says, if you have the Holy Spirit, guess what? You have the mind of Christ. It's the season for us to have the mind of Christ. It's just all these things that we've just talked about. Revelation, a knowing, a sense of speaking and of prophecy, that comes from the mind of Christ. That's how Jesus could walk this earth. He walked the earth by the fullness of the Spirit, and therefore He knew what the Father's will was. He only did what the Father's will was. Isn't that amazing? He didn't do everything. Didn't heal every single person or save every single person. He just did what the Father told Him to do. But so many times we just want to run around doing all the exciting things and we miss the will of the Father. Because why? We're led by the emotions. We're led by the natural man. And God wants to fill us with His Spirit. Because while we have the mind of Christ, even though we're not perfect, when we have the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. So turn to someone next to you and say, you have the mind of Christ. Isaiah 11 says the following. The prophet Isaiah speaks here about the one to come, the Messiah to come. And he says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Listen to verse 3. His delight is in the fear of the Lord. In other words, he knew a relationship with God, that's all he knew. That's all that was important to him. The rest flowed from that relationship. Nothing else was more important. He knew the fear of the Lord. He humbly worshipped God, his Father. He walked in that. But listen to this. Because of all of this, because he had the Spirit on him, because he had the fear of the Lord on him. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what Proverbs says. If we have the fear of the Lord, that's where wisdom starts. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, you can't even start with having wisdom. But it comes from a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had a relationship with the Spirit. And guess what? He was empowered by the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. And listen to what he did. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. I want to say that again. Because he had the fear of the Lord, because his delight was in the fear of the Lord, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Isn't that amazing? Walking in the Spirit ties in with exactly what Paul is writing. He says, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has imagined or conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Jesus Christ was empowered by the Holy Spirit in His entire being. He walked in the perfect will of God. And therefore, He did not judge by what He saw. He judged by what the Spirit told Him. This is a challenge for all of us as Western people especially. Because we are so focused on the natural. We're so focused on making it in the world and, you know, judging by performance and measurements and all these things. And God is saying, just be still and know what my will is. And that is all you need to know. You know what? That will make us stress-free, I believe. Jesus didn't walk on this earth with so much stress and stuff to do and all these things. You know, I've had a hectic weekend, to be honest. I've got to be honest. I have to hand in an assignment for my studies tomorrow evening. We did Encounter 2 yesterday. 2 sermons to preach today. The whole week we've thought about the move. Thanks to everyone who helped with the move. It was just so smooth, and all the packing of the chairs yesterday was brilliant. But, you know, I was just thinking, God, I'm going to lose it. I've got so much to do if I don't walk in your peace and I don't walk in your Spirit. And then there's my family at home, and I didn't see my kids the whole of yesterday. But you know what? It's just such a delight to know God called me to do. Yes, it's a hectic week. It's not ideal, and it won't happen every week. But I'm not going to live by emotions, God. I'm not going to live by my tiredness, by my fatigue. I'm going to just say, God, what I need to do now, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to fulfill your will. And it just gives me so much satisfaction to just be walking in the fullness of God. Jesus didn't walk with all the stress and all this stuff to do. He just walked every day in the peace of God. And so we have to lay down performance. We don't have to start to say, oh God, I must do more. No, you just say, God, what do you want me to do? Because someone said it to me the other day, there's enough time in the day for you to do what you've got to do. Do you know that? Students, I want to say that there's enough time for you to do what you've got to do, okay? There's enough time for you to sleep as well. When the exams are on and the stress is on, there's enough time for you to sleep. There's enough time to do everything you've been called to do. And maybe you're doing too much. Maybe you're doing too little. Maybe there's a lot of wasted time. Then say, God, I want to walk in your peace. I want to not judge by the sight of my eyes and what, ooh, I see all the nice things. Let me do this. Let me run to every exciting thing. Or Lord, ooh, these voices are speaking to me now. Oh, I better run to this one and then please that one. And yes, you run around like a crazy thing. Just say, God, whatever you do, I judge not by the sight of my eyes. I don't hear by the decide by the hearing of my ears. I want to do what you've called me to do and walk in your Spirit. And you see, if we walk by the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. We can do exactly how Jesus did. Walk on this earth, touch the people we need to touch, bless the people we need to bless, and go to sleep at night having this peace and just the sense of satisfaction that we've just simply fulfilled the will of the Father. That is a life of abundance. That is the life that God has got for us. As the band comes up this evening, I want to read the last scripture here. Joel 2, verse 28 to 29. In conclusion this evening, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. The prophet Joel talking about the end times, talking about Pentecost happening, and just a continuation of Pentecost, that it's just going to continue. And he says, also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. We are living in the very last days. It's scary, but it's also exciting. Did you know that? We're living in the last days. Tell someone in case they didn't know, we're in the last days. We're in the very last days. If the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost 2,000 years ago, then guess what? We must be, who knows how close. But you know what? We're a lot closer than they were. We're a lot closer than the prophet Joel prophesied. And guess what? It doesn't only happen at Pentecost that the Spirit is poured out. The Spirit has been poured out, but you know what? We can still respond to the outpouring of the Spirit. It's already been done, but we must. It's the same as salvation. Jesus died on the cross. It's not like he has to die again for each person that responds. He died once for all, but it's up to us to respond and to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill us again and to ask the Spirit to empower us to fill us every day, that we don't have just once-off experiences, but that we have every day an empowerment by the Spirit. And it's not a fuzzy feeling or goosebumps and all that. You might have that at the start when you got filled with the Spirit for the first time, but after that it's saying, God, I want to hear your voice now. I want to know what you're saying. And you see, everyone who believes and wants this great gift of the Spirit can have it. You know, and I'm challenged at times because we preach many times just a salvation, a born-again experience, and that's right. But the Spirit is sort of starting to talk to me about, you know, where am I in all of this? Yes, Jesus saves and Jesus gives new life, but you know what? Many people fade away after they make a commitment. Why? Ask all these big evangelists, Reinhard Bonnke and Billy Graham and all of them. In fact, Billy Graham said that if he has to have his ministry over, he will not have masses and masses of people. He'll take 12 people, he'll disciple them, and he'll let them disciple others, and that's how the world will be changed. A lot quicker than just calling masses and masses to commit their lives to Jesus. But the Spirit, I believe, is saying to us that it's time to say, Holy Spirit, come and empower us. And I walked for 9 years without the Spirit. I gave my life to Jesus, and I had a relationship, and I knew I was going to heaven, but I didn't have the power to speak to people. I didn't have life in abundance. I just knew it was about me and Jesus, and we were surviving. I was surviving through life. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I started to speak to people. I started to challenge people on, how do you experience God? God loves you so much. I started to speak and pray, and I'll never forget when I, in Resin, in Stellenbosch, before I got filled with the Spirit, it was so challenging for me to pray in a group. You know, we were in a church, and I was involved in lots of committees and things, but I could never pray in a group out loud. It was like just me and God, and I heard this guy praying in tongues because he was in Shofar. He was in this charismatic church. I thought, this is so weird, but I could never pray in the Spirit. I could never pray out loud even in English or Afrikaans. And when I got filled with the Spirit, I got empowered to pray and to say, God, you're great. I could worship God. I could lift up my hands. But you see, God wants to give us this experience when we get saved. He doesn't want us to have years and years when we walk without the Spirit. We get saved and me and Jesus, but you know, you can't make any difference in the world out there because you haven't had the fullness of His Spirit that empowers you when you make a commitment to Him. And I believe the key to the city, guys, is the Holy Spirit of God. There's lots of people who say they're Christians and they might have a very good and honest relationship with Jesus, but guess what? They don't have the power of the Spirit, and that's why we don't see the city change. But when the Spirit starts to move like a wave through the city, you know what? We'll see change. It won't just be a striving and a struggling. It'll happen because it's the Spirit. When the Spirit does something, the Spirit does a good work, a complete work. But you know what? We resist and quench the Spirit many times because we're living in the carnal mind. We're living in the natural, fulfilling our natural desires. You see, the reason that God wants to have wants to give us a revelation of His will, to know and understand the will of God with confidence, to speak the will of God, is so that we can have the abundant life that Jesus bought for us. That is why He died on the cross. He didn't die just to save us from our sins. He died to give us life that we can make a difference, that we can walk in the fullness of life. That is life in abundance, not just surviving and going to heaven, pulling Moses on his beard and just hoping to make it over the finish line, saying, just save me, please, Lord. No, God saves us, but you know what? He empowers us by His Spirit to be a blessing, to give life to others, to not, you know, it says in the Bible, the second Adam came as a life-giving spirit. The first Adam came as a living being. He just came to exist and survive. But Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came as a life-giving spirit. And you know what? He's given us that very same spirit to give life to other people. Starting by speaking, starting by having a revelation, starting by having an encounter with Him. I want to say people are hungry for the presence of God in the city. They're hungry for realness. This week, those who are architecture students will know, you had this exhibition there, some of you were involved in it. I just sat there on campus looking at all this exhibition stuff, and it was like people were so drawn to these weird things. And I actually thought it was like off stuff. I thought it was like weird stuff. And then I thought, no, it's actually some people in our church that made those things. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't hold it against those people. But I mean, it was weird shapes and stuff. But people are looking at these things and they're so intrigued by this design and this architecture. And it's awesome. It is. It's beautiful. It's from God. But God wants people to be drawn by the power of the Spirit, by this all-consuming fire where the Holy Spirit is involved, and there's a flame, there's a burning stuff happening, and people are drawn to this flame. They want to be drawn to the realness of Christ. And it starts in our hearts. When we have a real relationship with God, it starts when we say, God, we want to be that burning flame where people are drawn like Moses to the burning bush, saying, I want to have an encounter with Christ. I see the supernatural in your life. I see a peace. I see a joy. I see the fullness of life in you, and I want that. And it starts with that, and then it's going to manifest to where people start getting healed because we're walking with the Spirit, because we lay hands on people. We just start to speak the Word of God, and we see change. And we don't have a sentimental relationship to that thing. We just walk away and saying, we're just obedient to God, and change follows us. Miracles and signs and wonders will follow us. That's what the Bible says. That is the gospel. People are hungry for the presence of God, the real presence, the manifest presence of God. Let's all stand this evening. Let's all close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this new season, Lord. Lord, we stand here many times in awe of you and even trembling at what you want to do, God. But we say this evening, God, we don't want to resist or quench or just, Lord, allow your Spirit to move on and to move through other people's lives. We want you to stop here with us, God. We know you're with us, God, but we know also many times there are blockages in our lives. There are blockages to allow you to flow through us, Lord. We are causing the blockages many times, and we just want to surrender, Lord. Like these songs that we've sung tonight, we want to let go of control, God. We want to surrender our whole lives. We want to surrender our issues to you, God. We want to leave our issues at the old venue even, God. We want to leave our issues behind, Lord, in this new season. We don't want to wait another year where we come to the 1st of September next year and then we have another new season and we hope for things to come and we hope it will change. But we decide this evening, and I believe you're calling some of us this evening to decide it's a new season. I just sense the Spirit saying that some of you have had a very challenging year. You've had an emotionally up and down year. You know you are. The Lord is speaking to some of you, and God just says you must decide it's a new season. You must decide it's time for change. God is waiting for you. He's already made this change possible, and you must just walk into what He's made possible. Just decide. It's the end of the old stuff. It's the beginning of a new season. Just takes a simple commitment, and then you say, God, by faith I do this, and you will show me the next step. I don't have to control now. I don't have to control all the variables to try and make things work for the good. Because His Word says He will cause all things to work together for your good. He will cause it. I want to say it to you this evening. God will cause all things to work for your good, but just allow Him to do it. Just surrender to what He's doing tonight.